Each year we celebrate this triduum of great celebrations: Pentecost, Trinity Sunday, and then the great feast of Corpus Christi. So we're right in the midst of those three great celebrations, and it's the beginning of our summer and a time for us to reflect on the great gift and mystery of our faith. Today is probably the toughest of the three feasts, at least for me, to preach about, because I haven't a bull's notion of what that Trinity is about. It's a mystery. And I get great consolation each time I read this statement from our brother Augustine, who is our co-patron in many ways, the son of Monica. He was, as you know, one of the great, great thinkers of our church. He wrote magnificent things about about our church and our traditions and our theology. And he just had this brilliant mind. And so he himself one day describes this event, and it gives me great hope. He said, "I was walking along the beach." He said, "I saw a boy right on the beach pouring seawater into a shell, and then from that shell into a small hole in the sand." And so Augustine said to this young lad, "What are you doing, young man?" And the little boy looked up at Augustine and said, "I'm emptying the sea into this hole." And Augustine said, "But young man, that's impossible. How can you take this sea that you cannot even see beyond the limit of your eye? How are you going to take that sea and empty it into this little hole with that shell?" The boy stood up, looked straight into the eyes of Augustine, this great father of the church, and said, "What you are trying to do to comprehend the immensity of God with your small little head is even more impossible." How about that? And it's the truth. And Augustine said, at that moment, he vanished. He always felt that this child was an angel sent by God to teach Augustine the great lesson. Never by our head, only by our heart can we come to know the great gift of our God. And then he said, according to him, the Father is the lover, the Son is the loved one, and the Holy Spirit is the personification of the very act of loving. How about that? Now, we don't get that, how that's one God. But with our hearts, we can see God is that lover, the Father. The Son, he describes as the one who is loved. And the Holy Spirit is the personification of that love of Father and Son together. So we look at that great mystery. We look at it through the eyes of Augustine. We look at it through the eyes, our own eyes. And while we cannot comprehend the mystery, we can understand certainly that Trinity, God, we made in the image and likeness of God, in our very core, are not therefore singular. Just as God is one but three persons, so we then in our lives, if made in the image and likeness of our God, then you and I have that inner relationship. Our inner relationship with God and an inner relationship with the people with whom we walk the way. And if we try to live our lives in a singular fashion, if we try to be these You know, this kind of person that is just on our own, making our way, doing it our way. I did it my way, you know, the great song. We're really missing the great revelation. We're really missing the context in which we are created, and we are really missing the very reason for our existence. And that has all kinds of ramifications, it seems to me, in our lives. That somehow we are not connected just to ourselves. And so how we treat each other, how we listen to each other, how we go through the process of making decisions, how we live our lives, how we reverence people, all of that is connected to this great mystery of the Trinity. I think. Made in the image and likeness of our God. What is our God? One, certainly, but three persons. The lover, the loved, and the personification of that love. And so in our own lives, we attempt somehow to live out that great mystery. This weekend we had an extraordinary funeral for a young man, 36 years of age. He was on a motorcycle a week ago Friday and was coming along Santa Monica Boulevard, and somehow a large car made a left-hand turn. They didn't see each other. He crashed and was killed literally instantly. But the greatest consolation for that family, and they were in horrible pain, the greatest consolation of that family, listen to this, was that there was a young woman who was in an apartment just above where the accident took place. And she looked out just at the moment that that person, that young teenager, made the left turn and he came and smacked the car. And she ran down and took him in her arms and held him as he made his last breath, went to the door, and met his God. That's what consoled that family. I thought about that. Isn't that the truth of our lives? But so often we don't act that way. We get stubborn, or we get self-righteous, or if I preached everything I did, I'd never preach at all. So I'm in this with you. But that's the truth. That somehow there is that interconnection. Our families, our loves, our lives, who we are. That's how we're made. That's who we are. Made in that great image and likeness of our God. And so we journey together. And we walk together. We share together. And we do our best. I have a story. It's a crazy story on Holy Trinity Sunday. I'm sure I've never told this on Holy Trinity Sunday, but here it is. It's about two Russian drinking buddies, Peter and Ivan, and they're just great friends. And Peter and Ivan, they did everything together. They celebrated holidays with their families together. They took vacations with their families together. They would go out and have dinner just by themselves from time to time and have a few drinks together. They were like brothers. So one night, a very cold night in Russia, they're sitting in a little bar and they're having a little drink before they go home. Peter looks at Ivan and he said, "Ivan, do you really love me?" And Ivan looks at Peter and said, "Peter, are you out of your mind? Of course I love you. I mean, we're brothers. We do everything together. There isn't anything in this world that I wouldn't do for you. I love you so much. You're blood of my blood. We're brothers. Of course I love you." Then Peter said to Ivan, "Ivan, do you know what pains me?" And Ivan looked at him and said, "Gosh, no, Peter. I really don't know what pains you. I don't know. Are you in pain? I don't know. I didn't know that." And Peter looked at Ivan and said, "My brother, you cannot love me if you don't know what pains me. And I think that's true. We are infatuated with people because we know the good things of them. And when we're doing the song and dance, it's wonderful. But love is something more than that. Love is much deeper than that. And that, I think, is the thing that's at the core of our unity with each other. That somehow we don't just know the good things, the beauty, the gifts, the blessings. We know what pains us. And in the process of that pain, we come to love. I know that love is factitive and the suffering that is part of all of our lives, I think, is something that we all share. And so that brings us in that closeness with each other. I was thinking about just the other day when we had our earthquake here at St. Monica's. I actually thought that this parish had we'd closed the blinds and it was all over. I didn't think anyone would come back. For 15 months, we were in a gymnasium, and it wasn't a very pretty gymnasium. And this church was practically ruined to the grounds, and our school was badly damaged. And I'd wake up in the morning, 2, 3 o'clock, 4 in the morning, and say, I don't think anyone's ever going to come back. You know, this beautiful church, at that time, we had 4,000 households. Do you know today that there's almost 9,000? Something happened during that time. Something that was, it was a tipping point really for our community. That in the suffering and the pain and the loss of something so treasured, so beautiful, so much a part of us, it actually united us as a force and helped us not only to grow, but helped us to invite and to ask others to come. And from that moment on, we have this great sign for our community that all are welcome. They were welcomed in that gymnasium because we were in a round and you couldn't help but look at each other when we celebrated Mass, and here we are again. But it's true of life, I think, all of life, that when there is some great difficulty, that family who had been separated from the church for some time, when they came back here for that great celebration of their son, their brother, their best friend's life, they found solace and consolation. As crazy as this church sounds at times, we need each other. We need each other in love and in support and in care. And in a community, in our families, in our homes, in our communities of faith, we come together, and that's why we come. Because it's in the very core of who we are and what we're about. That we are sons and daughters, made in the image and likeness of our God. And so I'm not sure that intellectually I've moved anyone today to an assent or a greater appreciation or understanding of what that Trinity means. But I hope, my brothers and sisters, it brings to mind in our hearts and our lives, and maybe a mantra for this week, that great word of our brother Augustine. You see the Trinity if you see love. The Father is the lover. The Son is the loved one. And the Holy Spirit is the personification of that very act of loving. Amen.